I'm right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I've got an opportunity to speak to y'all and share what's on my heart. Thank you, Holloway, for that prayer. I want to tell y'all, I have a mother. God has blessed me with a mother, a Proverbs 31 mother. And I love her so much. One of the things she can do is she can cook. Something about my mother, not every mother can cook. Not every mother is blessed with the ability to cook. But my mother can cook. And she puts a special ingredient in what she cooks. And she puts that love in there. And I don't know how that happens. It's by God's design. But there was a meal that I remember, and it's kind of crazy that I remember it. You know, I don't know what we do with leftovers now. I don't know how you feel about them, but they don't have a long shelf life at my house. If they're not eaten, they get put in the trash. But when I was growing up, you didn't throw anything away. And I remember this one time that my mother made this soup out of leftovers. She took all these things that weren't a complete meal, and she put them all together into a soup. And the reason I remember it is because I took a bite, and it was a lasagna noodle. And it was kind of strange that you would find lasagna in a soup. And I asked her about it, you know, what's this doing in the soup? And she said that was that leftover piece of lasagna. And it was a good soup. Kind of crazy that you can throw this stuff together and make it taste good, and that's what my mother can do. She can take all these leftovers and make something good, and that's kind of what God does with us. We're incomplete, and He brings us in to the body of Christ, and He makes this wonderful, wonderful body that we're a part of. Fills it with love, that secret ingredient of love, and then offers it to the world. Offers to the world. And what I want to talk about is our testimony today. Our testimony. The most powerful tool we have that God has given to us is our testimony. We have what Jesus has done for us that we can tell people. We have what Jesus is doing for us. And we also have what He's going to do. And each one of us has this inside of us. We all have our own story. We know our Savior. And we know what He's told us that He's going to do. And He's going to come back. He's going to get us. He's taken away our sins. He's fixing us as we're broken. And that's something that we can tell anybody. And that's powerful. Each of our stories, which we know by talking to one another, we have incredible stories to tell of what God has done. Powerful. Powerful. And there's a reason for that. Each day we wake up, we're testifying. Every minute of our day, we are testifying. We are all, Jerry Radcliffe put this in my head years ago, that we're all preaching a sermon. We are all preachers. The best sermon that you're ever going to preach is how you live your life. So each day, we're testifying. Now, some days we do a really good job serving the Lord. Some days we don't do so good. Some days we mess up. Sometimes, you know, we have high periods and low periods where we're struggling. And sometimes we're really, you know, we're on Mount Carmel. We're Elijah on Mount Carmel. And then sometimes we're really struggling. So I just wanted to look at that and remind ourselves of that. You know, on the good days, we bring glory to God. On the bad days, you know, we can bring shame to ourselves for what we're doing. So I want to look at, if someone, I need some volunteers for a reading. John chapter 4. Got that? Verses 25 through 30. Dale, did you have your hand up? John chapter 5. I want to look at some how God uses us and uses people to testify and to glorify Him and to bring people to Him in some amazing ways. So John chapter 4, verse 25 through 30. And you can read that when you got it, Chuck.
The woman said, "I know that the Christ, called Christ, has come to us. When He comes, He will explain everything to us. When Jesus declares, I who speak to you am He." Just then, His disciples returned and were surprised to find Him talking with the woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking to Him?" Then leaving her water jar, went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" When they came out of the town, they came out of their town and made their way towards Him.
Okay, thank you. So this woman who is just having a conversation with Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, one-on-one conversation with her, and He lets her know that He is the Messiah. The disciples come back, and the first thing she does is she leaves her water jar and runs back to town. The whole reason that she was there was to get water. You didn't go to the well and leave your jug. She completely forgot what she was there for, and she ran back to this town. Now, this woman has been married, what, five times? Now, think about that. Five times. I mean, at what point? Well, she did reach that point, because what she ended up doing was just living with a man instead of being married. But she was an outcast of the town. She was there at the well by herself, just an outcast, which means that she wouldn't have had a lot to do with the people in that town. She probably wouldn't have made eye contact. I mean, she was an outcast. So she goes to town, and she speaks to the people, which she probably never did. They all look at her and turn their head or give her looks of disgust. And here she is. She goes to them to tell them. But the only reason is to tell them that she said, could this be the Messiah? Could this be the Christ? She knew. She believed. Now, the incredible thing is, and I want to take away from this, is the testimony that she gave. She had found the Christ. She had found the Messiah. And they believed her. This woman, full of shame, and went to them and told them that. And what came of that in verses, can you read verse 39 through 42? Woman married five times, this outcast. Is that puzzling? I mean, they said that they believed her. How did they believe this woman? She's an outcast. She's a nobody. Did they see? I'm sorry, but did they see a change in her? Is there something that Jesus brings to? Do you remember when you became a Christian? Can you go back to that time? Now you had a past. You were a sinner, and now you're going to tell people about Christ, and you expect them to believe you?
I believe when people are looking at a person, like Lynette said, you are more apt to believe or to at least inquire to see if what has been told you is the truth. And you're right, she was an outcast, but that is one of the things why I think they believed, because under any other circumstances, she would have never approached these people to speak to them. So it wasn't unusual for her to do that, but it was also very unusual for the people to see that she would come and approach them like that. And in the confession, you know, for her to say, "He told me everything I ever did," I think that made a big impact too.
Yeah. Did that make an impact? Because they knew. I mean, these are rumors going around town. This is what this woman's all about. So is she? Did he tell her all the good things that she did? And she put all her shame and all her guilt and just put it all away and put Christ first right out front. I'm just saying, wanted to look at her to think that God can be glorified through her. There's never a time that we can't glorify God, no matter what we've done. I just think it just...
And I think Jesus knew this woman was looking for something other than all these relationships she had. She was looking for acceptance. She was looking for being loved or cared about. And Jesus knew that. I always felt like he knew that, and that's why he went to this town. And that's a me thing.
Yeah.
Okay. But I really believe that Jesus knew that, just like I believe that if you're really searching for God, he will bring you to the places that you need to be. And I'm taking this for my own life, because all my life I've searched for God and for the truth, even as a child. And then to have a friend that, all she told me was, go to worship service with me. That was her whole testimony. And I went with her and I became a Christian. And I never ever seen her enter a church building again after that. God will put you in the right places. And that's why I believe this woman was put in the right place at the right time. Not only to find a Savior, to be forgiven, but also to glorify God by her going out testifying.
Lynette, I'm sorry. It's just nerves. I didn't mean to shut you off. You want to shut me?
Well, Lynette had a question on how to change her attitude, whatever the relationship was. She probably, in her testimony, was saying, "I need to get out, and then I have a question to the faith. You just don't know that part of the conversation." So her words and her actions, she's probably been her process of trying to get out of that relationship.
It's powerful. Did you read chapter 5? John chapter 5, verses 18 through 16. Chapter 5, verse 8.
8
through 16.
Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, and walk." The day in which was replaced, Jesus said to the man who was healed, "It's the Sabbath, the law forbids you to carry the mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Get up, and walk.'"
Okay. Jesus tells us to do things that it goes against society norms and the traditions of the world. He told him to pick the mat up. The mat was not against the law. It was a tradition that they had made, but it got him noticed and caught their attention, just as we walk in this world and we should stand out. People take notice, and we do things that people don't do, maybe praying in a restaurant before you eat, and then we don't do things. You know, it's very awkward for me to be on a construction site and someone, you know, tell a dirty joke, and they know it's offended me, but by my silence they get offended. And Jesus calls us to do some things like that, and to be set apart, to be different. I guess the question is, why do we do these things? Or why don't we do these things? Our motivation is because He healed us, just like He healed the man at the tomb.
I think also the point is that everybody knew this man, so they noticed this change in him, the differences. They knew he couldn't function beforehand. It wasn't so much about that he was healed, but they took it out of context because he took off his mat and walked. And left. People will see a change in your life when you become a Christian, because you no longer do the things. They knew how you were before, but now you're a Christian and you're different. You no longer do the things that you did before. You no longer speak the way you spoke before. And you can get in, lose people because you have all of a sudden changed. They no longer want to associate with you. It kind of like, because you follow Christ, people take notice. It can be for the good, or it can be for the bad. You could win people over to Christ, or you may lose them. And I think this is what this is kind of telling me, is that people will notice the change. They will notice there's something going on that wasn't there before.
Well, when they saw him carrying the mat, in our daily testimonies, we're, in our love for Christ, are doing things differently than the world's doing. It could bring hostility, persecution, but there are, so you are going to lose some friends, but then there are going to be some that are going to say, there's something different. There's something different about it. What is it? It's the person searching for the truth. They see your light shining, and before them, and it's a beautiful light. It's like nothing you find in the world, and they want to know about it. And it gets them curious. But it's also going to bring hostility. But the man, you know, Jesus came back to the man, found him, and told him his name. And the first thing that he did is he went to tell the people his name. I don't think he was tattletaling. I think he believed in Jesus, and he told them his name. And that's something that we need to do in our testimony. Say the name of Jesus, and don't be ashamed. Give him the glory. But the man was testifying. When he picked up, Jesus knew that the mat, him carrying that mat would get him noticed too, because it broke tradition. Jesus knew the traditions of men had, washing hands and what else. God can use leftovers and make beautiful things. We can be useful to God, and our testimony is useful no matter what, no matter where we find ourselves. I want to look at Luke chapter 22, verses 60 and 62. Luke chapter 2, verses 16 and 62. This is when Peter is denying that he knows Jesus. But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. I want you to imagine Jesus, looking at Jesus and seeing Jesus look at Peter and what Peter was thinking. And how he sunk so low. Can you relate somewhat to what Peter? Have you let down God? Have you wept bitterly because you have failed? And the thing about our testimony, and as we live for Christ, we are going to fail. And this is a hard thing to face. You're going to fail. Now, if you fail, that doesn't mean you're a failure. Only if you quit. But you're going to fail. This is Peter. Now, this is in the Bible. Everybody knows of his failure. For the rest of time, these words will never go away. It's for everybody to see that Peter denied knowing Jesus. There are things that we're going to do in our failures that people are going to see us fail. Now, after we fail, how are we, and this is our struggle, how are we going to preach? How are we going to continue in our testimony? How are we going to do it? I'm just saying. If you've been there, it's tough. It's very tough. We were here Wednesday, and Russ was teaching. He was still talking about Paul. Paul had plans to go to Spain. Never made it to Spain. God had different plans for him. And we got in this discussion about the stronger our faith gets, the more Satan attacks us. That's kind of scary, but we're not supposed to be scared, because love takes out, drives out all fear. But is anybody, can you relate to that? Has anybody been there? I mean, to the low of the low. Really? Everybody? I'm there. Well, I just want to share with you that I'm there. And I'm not there because I'm going to tell you what. When you think you've gotten low, you can. Life is hard. It's tough. Tighten up, buttercup. Get up. But I'm just at a very low spot right now. And it's hard. I can relate to this. I'm looking at these and I'm seeing how God can use broken people. We can still serve Him. Even in our brokenness, we can serve the Lord.
Say about that, because He says the things I should do, I don't do. But the things I shouldn't do, I do. Because we are human. We are not perfect. And the Lord knows that. Because if we could reach perfection on this earth, Jesus wouldn't have to come. You know, God knows we need the continued cleansing of the Lord's blood.
Mm-hmm.
Because we cannot reach that. We want that perfection. We want to be able to do that. But we'll never reach it. And we can't let our failures stop us from getting back up and doing the right thing. There are days, and I've mentioned that a lot in our classes on Friday. There are days I just barely hang on with my fingertips.
Yeah.
You know, just barely there, but I can't let go, because if I do, then I have nothing. You know, I don't have God, I have nothing. And the Lord knows that, and we have this avenue to go back and ask for forgiveness, and ask for strength, ask for clarity, so that we recognize when we do things wrong before we do them, or you know, like I said, or ask for forgiveness for the things that we have done. That is what we have as Christians that the world doesn't have. So there's something else that we can be grateful for. It's a blessing that we have that avenue. But we have to realize, as long as we're on this earth, we're going to make mistakes. But we need to be able to be honest with ourselves and be able to say, I did wrong. Even if the world doesn't see it. Even if it's just something that's between you and God that you've done wrong, to be honest with yourself and say, Lord, I did wrong. I need your forgiveness. I need your cleansing power. Because that's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us getting back up and doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And even if the world does see you do wrong, if you can admit before the world, you know, man, this wasn't right what I just did. Or I know I shouldn't have said that to you. And let them know that we can do that, because the people of the world won't do that. And then you still give them a testimony that because you belong to Christ, you can admit that you've done wrong.
Thank you. stayed at outcast. To learn to be broken, not how you want to be. So many people, even as Christians, we know we're broken, but we put up that wall and we refuse to let God help us. And it's almost like we don't want to stay at that broken place, but we're not allowing the heart to open so that God can see what we need to do exactly what He wants to do.
Preaching.
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of add to what Tamika is saying, is that as human beings, we want what we want. But as Christians, we really need to allow God to guide us and to, like Tamika said, bring us to the place that we need to be. A lot of times, you want things your way, and God says, it ain't going to go that way. You know, you got to go through this difficulty. You have to face what's before you. And if you let God get you through this, you're going to come out on the other end so much stronger than what you were before you went through this hard time.
You know, some of the most discouraging things, that can be very discouraging. You know, nobody knows me better than my son back there and my daughter because they live with me. You know, you live with somebody, you know them a whole lot better than anybody else. And as I was saying, I'm really struggling right now. It's really been a struggle. And I've gotten tired and I've gotten depressed. My children are watching me. And that's your children watch you. And our relationships have been strained, and it's just like everything is going wrong in my life, whether it's work has slowed down or my relationships in my house or whatever. It just seems like everything I'm doing is just turning, it's not turning to gold. It's just, and I don't mean that as a pity party, but my children are watching me, and they're saying, they're looking at me struggling my faith. Well, this is going to be part of my testimony like we were talking about. This is a time where I will look back, where they will look back and watch me get through this, and they will watch me get stronger. But it's not pleasant, it's embarrassing, and you don't want your children to see you struggling in your faith. You want to be strong for your children. You want them to look up to you, and here you are, you know, struggling. But that's true, but I'm just saying, when you're where Peter was, when you're failing, when everybody's watching you fail, it can just be discouraging. We need to remember that our failures are part of our testimony, just like it was with Peter. And this was not the only time Peter failed. I mean, Paul confronted him with the Jews, you know, because he was sitting, you know, it's a constant struggle. And Wednesday night was like, this is a war, you know. Don't forget. We need to remind ourselves this is a war, and it's serious. It's going to be tough. You better be in it for the long haul. It's going to be tough because you have to be willing to sacrifice everything for Jesus. And you might have to, you know, talking about it, but you might have to sacrifice everything.
I often do want to hide it from the children so that their parents can be strong. But let them see you struggle. Because when they have their own struggles, they're going to look back in the window. When my dad and my mom struggled through this, things were different. If you are a baby in your family, and that helps give them that perspective.
don't embarrass you, let them see struggle, because in that struggle, they're going to also see your faith.
That's all part of Satan's plan to discourage you, you know? That's true. And I don't mean this as a pity party. I want to glorify God in the fact that I'm standing up here today as broken as I am, and that's all to His glory.
Yeah, but the thing is, you think your
problem
is bad.
Oh, no.
That's
true.
And then,
you know, Brother Ray always says, someone's got it a whole lot worse than me. I can't complain. That's one of Satan's lies. Yeah, he's good. Yes, Jay. And Jesus prayed for Peter. Jesus prayed for us. He prayed for us. Before we go, and it's getting time, we go out and we testify wherever we go. Right here at church, when we gather together to worship the Lord, isn't this the easiest place to testify? You don't think so? I'm telling you, I'm listening to all of y'all, and I have listened to you. And whether it's a hug or whether it's Happy Lord's Day or what we're praying for, we find out what's going on in each other's lives and our struggles, and we continue to march forward. I feel comfortable telling you about all my problems. And I want it to be, it's going to be part of my testimony, because we're going to continue to grow in Christ. But we need to tell our stories to each other. We need to remind each other of our stories. You're right. Everybody's got problems. People got a whole lot more problems than I do. You know? We need to hear that. We need to remind each other. We need to continue to meet together, to come together. This is a testimony. Coming to church is a testimony. Come to church. James' house burnt down. His neighbors knew where he was when it burnt down. Oh, he's at church. Everybody knew he went to church on Sunday, you know. Part of being together, it's our unity. I've learned from all y'all's testimonies. I'm still learning as we're growing together. We're telling each other our stories of our testimony. It continues. We continue to testify. each day, and we learn from each other. Our testimonies together are, we need them. We need to come together.
You know, the biggest thing that Rick ever told me when we went through the problems with our son, the closer you are to God, the harder Satan will try to get you away from him. So be aware that you are in battle at all times. We are warriors for Christ. And we have to remember that we have to stay in that battle. It's a daily thing. Dale taught that from the book Screwtape Letters, and I think that really brought out really well how Satan will attack a Christian and how Satan will step up his work more and more the closer you get to God. I've mentioned that book several times. I think Dale needs to teach it again. But it just brought it out how well Satan's minions will work on you and try to get you away from God. So we need to remember we are warriors. We have to fight that battle on a daily basis. And yeah, some battles are lost, but that doesn't mean the war is lost.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. And you know, you look at the Civil War, you know, all the famous battles, you know them because they were bloody battles. They were hard-fought battles. There were a lot of losses. They were big. And they were very important. That's what I got.